This week, we've got a lot of new stuff to discuss. We've got a week spent, each of us, with the new set of AirPods. There is a fancy new pair of PowerBeats Pro from Beats coming with much of the technology from AirPods, which we kind of teased out last week. This week, it's officially announced, and we know a lot more about it. There are iPhone rumors. There's much more. But first, let's just close the coffin on AirPower. This is the last that you'll hear from us on AirPower. If this topic makes you cringe, I'm sorry, but we're almost done with it. AirPower is canceled, and so by now I think everyone knows that. So it's now our job to make it historical and react to it. So what's the story there, Mayo? And how are you feeling?
This is bad. This is a bad end to the week. Like
I'm smiling. I'm so over it. I've moved on, but we've got to capture it. So
yeah, I mean, it's Wednesday now, so I've gotten over it. But on the day, I was pretty annoyed. But
yeah. Well, can I just say
we had the AirPods come out, we had the Mac update, we had the iPad update, and we'd obviously seen the AirPower map being drawn on the back of those newly released AirPods, and it was mentioned on the bottom of the box. And
you found the unseen image on the website.
Found the image on the website. To us.
Yeah. And then can I just say, John Gruber had the Thursday night tweet that was pretty late. I was up like editing this show, I think, while my kids were sleeping. And I just happened to, like, I'm usually not on Twitter at like 11 p.m., but he tweeted out, AirPower feels like a Friday product, something like that. And that was a standalone tweet. Before that, he'd even like replied to somebody talking about, will the talk show live tickets go on sale first or AirPower? And he said, I would love to actually bet on that one. It's going to be AirPower. There was no like gray area. Yeah, he meant it's going to be launched tomorrow. That he, you know, it wasn't like a little birdie story on Daring Fireball, but it was like safe enough for Twitter, where in tweet replies, he was super confident. And then in like the tweet itself, it was alluded that AirPower was coming tomorrow. And so the next day, like the community around him was like, what's the price going to be? Let's take last minute guesses between it before it's here. It's going to be in the afternoon because he said afternoon, not morning. and then it was just like the worst. So it was actually like worse than it would have been. We were all expecting maybe AirPower is coming today, you know?
Yeah, because like,
not canceled.
You know, a product release on a Friday is pretty weird because they just come off the event on the Monday, and Apple tends not to release stuff on Fridays, apart from, say, like the iPhone launch. That's always a Friday.
Like actually launching things that you can go and buy. Yeah.
Because if you look at the week before, they did, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday for the other stuff. Obviously, when the AirPods came out on that day, it was like, oh, so the mat's coming, right? It was either oh, the mat's never coming, or the mat's really far away and they've given up waiting. Or it's coming out like very, 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 very soon, right? Because that was the whole drama is the AirPods 2 and the wireless charging case have been pushed back and pushed back while they try and wait for the AirPower mat to come out.
They've
finally given up waiting, clearly. And so, and because of the code references, because of the website stuff, there were no real indications that the project had been cancelled before the Friday, right?
Yeah, besides the excruciating delay.
But evidence was by a wide margin that it was coming eventually, right? There wasn't really anybody standing up and saying, oh, this is finished, this is done. Because we even had the Wall Street Journal say that the AirPower mat had been approved for production in January, right?
There were guesses by people speculating, but there wasn't like, and here's the evidence for this. Like there were the evidence against that said that AirPower was coming was all of the marketing material, which was probably prepped last year and that just happened. Like they just weren't careful about releasing it. Like even the website was probably made last year and then just like didn't go live until AirPods 2 came out. But even like Min-Chi Kuo saying the supply chain says January through June, it's going to be sometime in that, you know, there was a last minute DigiTimes report that was like this one part maker suggests it's going to be at the end of this month, and it was like almost the end of the month anyway, but still it was evidence. There was code in iOS that said like they're still trying, at least like they're not removing code, they're adding new code to support AirPower. But then comes the cancellation.
Yeah, so I'll read the statement. This is from Dan Riccio, who's the hardware engineering senior vice president. After much effort, we've concluded AirPower will not achieve our high standards and we have cancelled the project. We apologize to those customers who are looking forward to the launch, i.e. me. We continue to believe that the future is wireless and are committed to push the wireless experience forward.
That's it.
So it's pretty clear cut, right? It's not, oh, we're still having trouble, we'll see you soon, or, you know, like the classic delay statement of we need a little more time to get it right. Like, they're very firmly done and closing the book.
Yeah, which, looking back, like, it was, you know, the couple of things are the problem with this. The problem is they pre-announced it without knowing that it could work, and they were very confident saying that, like, we can do this. The standards won't let you do it yet. We can. And then they went all of 2018 without an update on it when they said it was going to be a sneak peek of something coming in 2018. Okay, that's fine. But then there was no, like, we need a little more time. But looking back, it would have been way worse if they had said, we need a little more time, and then they said, we can't do it, I guess. Like, maybe at the time we'd feel good about it. More, you know, better than we did. But if they would have said we need more time and then couldn't, it seems like retrospectively, looking back, the reason they didn't say we need a little more time is because they didn't know how much time they needed, and it turns out they couldn't do it. And I also think that, like, canceling it, it is like the ultimate we're not going to do this anytime soon. But I wrote a thing last year that was like one of the options was to say it's not coming, you know, this year or next year or whenever, like, it's just say it's not coming, however you phrase it, they say cancellation. I think that kind of counts as like indefinite hiatus on the project, but that by, you know, the nature of technology, that eventually this is something that they want to do. They've got, you know, X amount of work put into it. There could be a breakthrough in 5 or 10 years or like much sooner than that, but that it is plausible that it's not like, erase all the work and throw it all away. We're never going to do that again because we're frustrated about it. But that it could, they must have been on the cusp of something, I guess. Although it could also just be that, like, you know, it cannot be done what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it, and we'll never see it happen. Yeah. What do you think?
Right. So there's the sense of this current effort and initiative is done. And so when I read they've cancelled it, it means all the engineers that are currently on the AirPower team as of, you know, 2 weeks ago have now been told to go and work on other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like how the car project, which is obviously was never announced publicly in, you know, in terms of a product, they've mentioned they're working on autonomous driving research, but in terms of, you know, actual product, they've never said a word publicly.
Yeah, so it's R&D, right?
Yeah. So, but in that realm, it is very clear that at one point they had, you know, hardware engineering groups working on car parts, right? They were working on, there was even the Bloomberg report where they were talking about designs for alternative steering wheels and axles and, you know, things like that. And they were looking at existing cars on the market, see how they could adapt it. And then at some point in 2016, they decided that we're doing this wrong. We need to reorganize. We're canceling, you know, internally the hardware aspect of the project, and only focusing on the software autonomous driving research stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happened, all of the hardware engineers were quote-unquote out of a job, and they were reallocated. And then more recently, they have streamlined it even more, you know, and fired some people. In this incident, it doesn't look like they fired anyone, but it's everybody that was working on it will have been moved on to say, no, stop putting any of your energy into this AirPower thing, even in the back of your mind, right? You're now working on future charging accessories or future accessories in general, whatever that team.
Yeah, your expertise is now going to be applied somewhere else. And there is some cost to all of this besides reputation. You know, I've seen people say we can't trust Apple now when they pre-announce things. And that's built in now, that if it's not shipping yet, then it is possible to argue it might not actually ship. And before that, it didn't really feel like a possibility. So I'll give you that.
Before today, there is nothing, you know, in the modern era of Apple.
It's like a version of the pre-Intel Mac, and that's not modern Mac, really.
The closest you can get is the Power Mac G5, which came out in 2003, and they said that within a year, Steve Jobs said this on the stage, they would offer a 3 gigahertz G5 in the Power Mac, right? And the Power Mac was the predecessor to the Mac Pro. That Power Mac was never released because they struggled with the PowerPC architecture, which at that time was kind of run by like the Motorola IBM arm, and they could never deliver on it. And so a 3 gigahertz Power Mac never came out. What did come out you know, again, later, not within the year, but within, say, 2 years, was the Intel-based Mac Pro. And right. that did come in a 3 gigahertz configuration from the mm-hmm. beginning. So
yeah, and that would be like it was a faster version of existing hardware. So it'd be like if they said, we're going to do the 2013 Mac Pro, we're going to release the 2014 Mac Pro, and they never did. They just never said they would, and it was presumed, but they never did.
Yeah, the base product was released. It's kind of yeah. equivalent. So if they said, we're going to have, you know, a 1 terabyte iPad in 2017, and then they never did it, and then 2018 came around and they did the 1 terabyte version.
Yeah. And then the white iPhone 4 delay that we've revisited frequently, it was a color of a phone, and it was super late, but it eventually did ship. It wasn't canceled, even though it was quite embarrassing at the time. But
yeah,
but it did,
so that was originally meant to come out with the black version in June, and then it got pushed back a month. The embarrassing thing about that one is they released multiple press statements saying they were still working on it, right?
And
it
was which maybe, yeah, like maybe contributes to not updating us on AirPower.
Yeah, so they did actually learn something, right? Because the embarrassment with the iPhone 4 is that it, at the end of June, it didn't come out. And then they said, we need a little bit more time. It'll be out in July. And then July didn't finish that. It'll be out at the end of the year. And then the end of the year passed. And then they just continued not to talk about it until it came out in like April. So
and the original AirPods were delayed. Those were announced in September and supposed to be released in October, right? And they ended up being, or at least
December.
By the end of the
ended up being December, yeah.
December, right? And then HomePod was supposed to be December, but ended up being
February,
and that was with compromise. You didn't get multi-room AirPlay 2. That was like in May, right before WWDC. So they've got a big history of being late and not knowing when they're actually going to finish something. You know, even something like Group FaceTime, which then needed to be repaired. But there's not a big history or a modern history of, we think we can do it, turns out we can't, and that's the end of it. this is new territory for Apple.
Yeah, so this is significant purely on that basis alone, regardless of anything else.
And
because
for perspective,
I keep seeing this thing, it's like, oh, it doesn't matter. AirPower was so insignificant. It was going to make Apple no money. It wasn't a mainstream product. Who cares, really? Like, I don't agree with that sentiment at all, because A, it's, you know, a hallmark of them, you know, truly screwing up in the biggest way. But even if it was like the second time around doing this, the AirPower Mat was still going to be a product of relevance. Like, they didn't announce it at the iPhone 10 event for the fun of it. They did it for a reason. And they were using it to message, you know, here's why going all wireless is going to be better. And because at the time of, you know, Apple introducing Qi charging into the iPhone, there was a huge wave of people going, oh, Qi charging, stupid. You know, you can just plug in the cable. Where's the convenience? And so they obviously introduced it with the, you know, traditional Qi chargers that we have at the moment. And they showed something that was truly, you know, pushing the boat forward in a way that offered clear advantages, regardless of how much it was going to cost, right? It did offer a version of the future that lined up with the messaging of the iPhone 10 itself, which was, you know, this is the future phone now, right?
So yeah, and something that deserves clarity is that it wasn't just you can charge three things, place them on three specific parts of the mat. It was you can charge these three things and place them anywhere on the mat, and there's no you know, friction there.
You could charge two phones. You didn't have to have, you know, it wasn't just here's a watch, AirPods, and phone. Yeah. It was at least also a configuration of two phones, which is highly convenient if you're a couple going on, you know, a traveling trip for the weekend. And you can just take a mat with you in your bag. You don't have to pack two separate chargers. Right?
Which that alone made it into the iPhone 8 ad. It was eight things about iPhone 8, and that was like number three was the iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus on the mat side by side, like as like, you know, generated CGI basically. But it was in there.
Yeah, and who knows what other configurations it was also going to support that they hadn't shown, because that was one of the big questions leading up to Friday. It was like, what exactly are they going to offer? And obviously they offered nothing, but if it had come out, it could have been even more convenience than just those two options. There could be many, many options, because
that's really the
unique thing about it, that nothing that you can buy on the market at the moment provides.
Yeah, I'm glad this eventually happened, but I did see a lot of people eventually come around to learning how AirPower was different than a triple Qi charger or a dual Qi charger, for that matter. People were finally seeming to come around to say, oh, that one was going to do something different than these ones that exist today could do. It's a shame. And I think the biggest thing, like messaging-wise, is I've talked on the podcast before about how I don't quite understand when people say Apple can't innovate and like they want innovation. Like, what does that mean? I don't always get it, because I think Apple's doing some, you know, really impressive work. Like we're not stalled out right now in almost any area. And, but this was like an example of innovation because it was literally inventing something and they promised to share, what they learned with the Qi standard so that others could do the same thing. And it was like, we're late to Qi charging, but we're going to improve it for everybody.
Yeah, it wasn't just, they weren't like, subtle about it. They were like boasting.
They were proud. The Shilla quote
from the September 2017 event. Mm-hmm. This is not possible with current standards, but our team knows how to do this. Like they weren't shy about it. They were like going hard. So if, and the thing that we don't really know is when he said those words, what was the state of the project? Because it looks really bad if he was saying that and then basically just like lying through his teeth. Like,
Or misinformation, like somewhere along the way, it was just wrong. But yeah, to say that you can't do this today, but we know how to do this was bad. So people learned what to do differently, and now through dealing with the alternatives. So for the longest time, like I knew people that had an iPhone 10 and a 10S. Never would buy a Qi charger with their own money because they were waiting for AirPower and they didn't want to waste $60 or even less than that on like a cheap one. AirPower was coming. Right. And now a lot more people, I've even seen like Apple employees on Twitter, like for the first time, you know, not saying AirPower, but saying, why are these chargers expensive? What's the difference in these? Why is this one ugly? Why isn't there like a pretty one? we're all seeing like the way the state of Qi as it was then and is now. And there are a few differences now. Like there are, mats that will have three coils so that you can charge two things, but have a little bit more leeway about where you place it or charge one thing in the opposite orientation. We'll get to those in a moment. But we certainly haven't seen what Apple wasn't able to do, which is have, you know, three dimensions, three layers of coils so that it's, and then rely on the operating system to do power management so that you don't have like fire hazards. They weren't able to fix any of that. And there are all these patents and descriptions about like what AirPower was going to be. And it was super complex. But it's unresolved. And so now we've got to deal with the reality, which is that there are a lot of one device Qi chargers or devices where there's like literally a mark where you place your device, but there are some new ones out that you can, there's a little bit more leeway about where you place things. Founded in 1988, OWC has been a reliable go-to for Mac upgrades and accessories for quite a long time, like 2 years before I was even born, long time. The company is best known for its easy-to-install solid-state drives, RAM memory upgrades, and storage upgrade kits for Macs. And this week we have a special deal on OWC's new 10-port USB-C dock. The OWC 10-port USB-C dock includes a total of five USB 3.1 ports, including one USB-C port, and it also packs in high-speed gigabit Ethernet, an easy-to-access front-facing SD card reader, mini display port, a combo audio in/out port, and a pass-through USB-C port for both data and charging. Most importantly for MacBook users, the dock is capable of providing up to 80 watts of power, which means you'll be able to charge any of the new USB-C MacBook or MacBook Pro models at full speed. OWC's dock comes in all the MacBook colors, including silver, space gray, gold, and rose gold, so you can have the perfect match for your Mac finish. And as always, the company includes its 2-year OWC warranty with all of its docks. And seriously, OWC is a go-to brand for longtime Mac users. I've relied on OWC's affordable RAM and Mac data doubler kits and tools for years, and their customer service is seriously fantastic. For a limited time, OWC is giving customers who buy the new 10-port USB-C dock a free 5-port OWC USB-C travel dock, normally valued at $49. Just use promo code 925DOC, that's 9TO5DOC, with both items in your cart at checkout. Visit macsales.com/9to5Mac or head to the show notes for links and full details on how to get our free OWC travel doc deal.
Almost going back to what you started with the indefinite hiatus idea, mm-hmm. I think that is implied with the, you know, we continue to believe that the future is wireless because they're not obviously going to give up on Qi charging and that realm.
That's true.
if next year somehow magically Samsung came out with a actual air power clone, not the stupid geocharger, but, you know, a three device thing at once, Apple's not going to stand licensed. There and be like, well, we said we're never going to do it, so now we're never going to do it. Like, of course they would, right? If and yeah. then Sean, that it's relegated from an active product in development to back to the, you know, the dregs of research and development labs of where there are employees in Apple working on today, like truly wireless power, like power that isn't inductive, but power that goes through the air, right? And
yeah, wireless and so with no wire.
If they get a breakthrough there, they're going to come back and do a product. Maybe they'd even call a truly wireless charger product air power again. Like, I don't think they'll be a name, the air power trademark name for necessarily, but clearly it just means that right now they have no immediate plans to release the mat.
One question
I do have, do you think they will kind of short term swallow their pride and release an Apple less ambitious charger like what we see from other manufacturers now, or even just a single cheap pad, like rather than relying on like Belkin?
I think probably not. I think it would be nice, but I just don't see it happening anytime soon. Like maybe in a couple of years, but not like this year or next year. I think that they were literally working on air power this probably, you know, in parts of this year, and so they're just not going to touch that right now. They could have released one anyway, and they could probably do it like overnight, but I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're just going to rely on what's out there and then not even touch that space right now.
I think I generally agree with that.
I think we'd be more likely to see a single device Qi charger, or maybe a dual Qi charger just for like phone and AirPods. Like, but then if you want to do the watch, buy the watch dock or buy the, you know, but not like a Qi watch puck. And then there's also the question of like, could they support Qi through the watch and then just do a standard three device Qi charger? Maybe, but then I think that that requires new watch hardware, I would imagine. And so you go from the promise of Series 3 and later to Series 5 or 6 and later. So probably not resolved this year. It might be a couple of years on the line. And in terms of back up a moment, in terms of the perception of like believing air power was coming, I think 9 days before cancellation, the Wall Street Journal ran a story, and this is not the DigiTimes or the Ming-Chi Kuo supply chain analysis. This is the Wall Street Journal. I think it was Trip Mickle who said in his story about new AirPods, there was a line that we pulled out and ran as a separate story to say, Apple approved production for AirPower earlier this year after facing delays. That's not like, you know, there's no wiggle room there either. That's saying Apple had issues. Presumably they overcame them because they approved production. It's now allowed to be made. And maybe that's Trip Mickle and the Wall Street Journal, like looking at the supply chain reports from like Kuo and saying, well, if, you know, we have sources saying the same thing. But then what was their coverage at like the day Air Power was canceled? They characterized it as abrupt,
it abrupt. And then they said they came up with some reasons about why they've decided to cancel
X, Y, and Z. And part of it was that the watch was so slow to charge, especially, sometimes it wouldn't charge overnight.
Yeah, it was quite a long, it was kind of like a long cover up for why they were wrong 9 days ago. But basically, it was overheating, the watch was slow to charge, and production costs were too high for what they wanted to sell the product for. That was kind of
And wasn't there a story that they one solution was to pack in more coils than was originally planned, and that would make it cost more, presumably, but maybe not that much more, but would also generate more heat and make it more complicated. The thing, though, is like I can see the Wall Street Journal having old intel 9 days before cancellation, and so it was approved and then was unapproved. Like that's possible.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly reasonable, right, that they had a working prototype that they'd carefully constructed in their labs, and then they sent it off to get made in mass scale, and then they ran into problems and were like, we, you know, there's no way we can overcome this now, so we're done.
Yeah, even if it's like you overcome heat and you say, even if it's just this is going to cost $500 or $1,000 and it's no longer practical, or the watch doesn't always charge overnight, or the phone doesn't always charge overnight and batteries are just getting bigger, like those are tricky things to deal with.
And there's a massive difference between making one thing and making a million, because yes, the air power product is less volume than an iPhone or iPad, but it is not going to be zero. Like a decent chunk of people that bought iPhones would want to buy the Apple charging mat as well.
That's probably the difference between the AirPods hardware review period or the prototype period, because there were enough for reviewers to have some that they couldn't write about them really, like, and they couldn't evaluate them, but they could test them out. And there, those, from what reviewers say, we didn't have a pair, but between September and December, there were no changes in how reliable everything was. It was the same, but it was probably a difference in how many we can produce at scale, without issue. So, but one of the things too about this statement is that it doesn't say like, we failed, Apple failed, we couldn't do it. It blames AirPower itself. Like, it's like, AirPower isn't up to our standards. Or, you know, it was very, I don't usually get caught up on like the passive voice and the way Apple handles that. But I found that one to be particularly kind of excruciating.
Yeah, it's like, we apologize to those customers who were looking forward to this launch. It's not like, we apologize for us not being able to deliver it. It's like, this separate thing over here, we're, well, it's not what, coming out, so we're sorry.
What's the precise line before that?
After much effort, we've concluded AirPower will not achieve our high standards and can't.
Yeah, AirPower is what can achieve the goal, not us.
Yeah, not after AirPower. Much effort. Apple has said that we cannot do this. Like, it's almost like they're blaming a subsidiary, not themselves.
Right, AirPower can't be as good as we want it to be. So yeah, so okay, it's gone. So I'll begin with kind of the moving on phase of this. I was that night. I wanted to move on as fast as possible and say, okay, I don't like, now that I've got, I didn't mind like one wireless charger for the phone and then charging the watch on its dock or its cable, like whatever, that's fine. But then I got to the new AirPods the week before, and I was then charging the phone in one room and the AirPods in the other room to use wireless charging. So I'd have like an office charger and a bedroom charger and a kitchen charger for wireless charging. So for that, I said, now I want one charger for the bedroom and one for the kitchen, and then forget the office, I guess, because I don't do much charging in there anyway. So I was researching everything that's available. We ran some stories about it and everything. And I quickly determined that for me, Nomad was making the best thing that was actually shipping. They had three products to start out with that were, I was looking at. The first one is just a dual Qi charger. So it's got left and right or middle. I think it's a three coil charger. And so you can charge your iPhone on the right, your AirPods on the left, or vice versa, or lay your iPhone sideways and just charge it on its own. It just depends on how you want to do it, but it's pretty forgiving. And then it also has a USB-C out on the back and a USB-A out on the back if you wanted to plug in a cable and charge something quicker or different. So that was available. I ordered it on Amazon Friday night. It arrived Sunday morning, and I was happy with that. I was charging the phone and the AirPods on one surface, and then the watch I was charging just over here on the side. It was fine. And I managed to get the second thing was that I ordered and then needed to cancel was – they had a version of that same design, but it was one charger on the surface and then a watch puck attached to it. So iPhone or AirPods plus watch. Yeah. That one was like $20 more. The first one was $100. The second one was $120. And I thought that was two Qi and then the watch, but it wasn't. It was one Qi plus the watch. And I think that one is going away and has since been like erased from the internet. And I canceled my order from Best Buy. The third thing is what everyone I think is recommending, or at least really popular for recommending, as an AirPower alternative now that AirPower is dead. And they call it like Nomad Wireless Charging Hub, Apple Watch Edition, or something like that. It's a goofy long name, but it's a good product. And I ordered one. It was going to come at the end of April. New orders beyond that were coming in May. If you ordered it like week before, you would have just had it arrive. Like, it wasn't back ordered before AirPower news, I think.
Because Nomad are laughing themselves to sleep at the moment with the amount of orders they must be getting.
they're very fortunate, because I totally dismissed all AirPower alternatives before, and then once it was canceled, it's like, okay, now I'm taking them seriously. and I know Nomad is a brand. They've made some really attractive watch docks before, and they make lots of accessories for iPhones and iPads and Macs, so they're a known company. I've met some of their marketing people before, and so I got in touch and I said, hey, I've ordered this thing. I want to write about it and we've already reviewed one Jeff Benjamin did on video, which, by the way, Jeff had a fantastic AirPower demise video. Like, he was comically emotional and he covered the bases very well. I think it was a good video, so check that out if you haven't seen it. But we'd reviewed the Nomad 3-in-1 charger before, and I just said, well, now in the context of AirPower and the new AirPods, I'd like to include it in my AirPods review as well. And so they said, we might have one or two laying around. And a couple of days later, they got back to me and said, I've found one. We're going to overnight it to you. So it came from Santa Monica to Biloxi, from the end of the night to the beginning of the next morning. I was impressed by that. But, you know, I'm happy because now I can talk about it and tell you how it is. So it's two Qi chargers and then the Apple Watch Puck. It doesn't have USB A and C out on the back, so it removes that. But it's pretty forgiving for the iPhone about where you place it. A little bit trickier with the smart battery case on it, which I still use every day, but it does work with that as well. The AirPods, it's really forgiving about where you put it. And it does have three coils. It's got three lights as well to tell you, like, if something is actively charging, it is orange. If it's charged, it's white. And if you try and sneak two devices side by side to use the same side by side coil without a gap in between, you get a flashing light that I think says, I'm not active. Like, it knows that's dangerous. That's AirPower territory. Don't do that. but practically speaking, like, I've moved the dual charger to the kitchen. So that if I come home, but I'm not like ready for bed yet, I put the phone on the charger and the AirPods on the charger, emptying out my pockets basically. And those are rejuicing slowly. If I'm ready for bed, or like I put them in the bedroom, then I can put the iPhone down with the smart battery case on it, the AirPods case down, and the watch on the dock, you know, and the watch is on me all day until I go to bed. So then I just put it on the dock at the end of the day.
And the watch is standing up behind the other bits, right?
Exactly. It's in, you know, what was originally nightstand mode, and they made nightstand mode portrait support too, so that you can lay it flat and still get that same effect, or hang it, you know, in portrait style. But yeah. And it's not as pretty as AirPower would have been, but it is, you know, more band compatible. and also it's a small surface. It's probably narrower than AirPower would have had to have been to support, you know, all the devices. And it's one brick to the wall. It's a big brick, because I think it's like a bunch of watts charging to support all those devices. But there's no issues with heat. Like I said, the only thing I've got to complain about is that instinctively I'm putting the iPhone higher than it needs to be, or closer to the center, like aligning it more centered than it needs to be. And so it's a little bit finicky about that. But the biggest complaint there is about like how the iPhone respond, especially with the smart battery case on. Then if the case has juice, then you've got a green battery for charging anyway. And so you only get that dual battery screen when the case is charging and the phone's charging at the same time. And that's for like a split second. So it's a little bit tricky to get the feedback of now the phone's charging. But I would recommend it for $140. It's kind of expensive, but for one charging surface that you can travel with and not have a bunch of wireless chargers or a bunch of wired chargers for that matter, it's good. I've seen Slice Charge and one more crowdfunded solution, and we've reviewed Slice Charge. I don't have it. You don't have it, but Ben Lovejoy has reviewed it. And it's much cheaper, I think, but I think it's kind of ugly. And yeah.
I haven't committed to any yet, but in terms of like buying one, but the Nomad is the best three device one that I've seen so far.
Yeah. And I think they ship internationally. And when you buy one, you do get a US charger and then two international chargers, which like, I guess is UK and Europe, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and so your alternative is that you haven't done anything yet. What are you planning then?
Not yet. I probably going to get something eventually, but I'm kind of weighing out the options, and I will mention it when we get to the AirPods in a minute.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, naturally you want to find the best person for the job. Odds are that person is already on LinkedIn. That's why you need to know about LinkedIn Jobs, 9to5 Mac Happy Hour's sponsor this week. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. It uses knowledge of both hard skills and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers. So LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. Your LinkedIn job matches are based on skills and background, sure, but also interest, activities, and passions. This helps you get the full picture of a potential job candidate. And customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires. So post a job today at linkedin.com/happyhour. That's linkedin.com/happyhour. And get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/happyhour. Terms and conditions apply. All right. So with that being said, let's talk about AirPods 2 then.
Sure. I mean, when we recorded last week, I basically just got online that day. We'd had them for like one day each, but obviously we focused on the event last week. So now we've had them for a bit longer. We can talk about them more in depth. Although my feelings are generally what we had last week anyway, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's an incremental update to the first generation AirPods. The first generation AirPods are great. The second generation improve quite a lot in various ways, apart from like the sound quality itself. There is no difference in the sound quality of these ones compared to the first ones. I keep seeing people bring it up. I'm convinced that they're comparing first gen AirPods that have been gummed up with earwax and gunk over 2 years to a fresh pair of
worn out AirPods versus new AirPods. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, if you compare like new first gen to new second gen, they're effectively identical in terms of sound quality. And I think that's most backed up by the fact that Apple does not mention the sound quality got better, because if they did, they would have commented on it. Mm-hmm. The connection speed is 100% tangible and noticeable, because that's like one of their big things is with the H1 chip that they've doubled the speed at which the devices connect.
And can I tell you something?
Yeah.
If Apple didn't remark on it, I wouldn't notice.
Really?
Yeah, and it might be that I'm using beta software, so it's still tricky. But I'm seeing similar performance. Like, and it isn't that it's always bad or it's always good. It's kind of just a mix of both a lot.
that's kind of my first gen experience, right? Because I've bring this up before, and sometimes it'd be, you know, relatively speed, and sometimes it would take forever. I'm also running the same, you know, iOS betas and watch betas and stuff that you are, but maybe I've come down on the luckier side of the fence. I 100% see it connect faster than my previous pair did, and I have yet to have one of those times when I'm waiting 10-15 seconds and just seeing spin, because I time it based on the number of times the loading spinner and control center turns around, and I'm currently on an average of like 3 or 4 and I'm done.
Three rotations, yeah.
It would be pretty regularly where it'd be spinning for like 15 straight seconds before it got there. So now I'm less emphatic about it, but that my experience is not shared by you. I didn't realize you were having those issues.
I've kind of looked at like my I love AirPods, and I had a great 2 years with the first pair, but I've also had like the kind of growing pains on the new AirPods that I had with the first pair too. That was an issue I'll get to in a little bit, but so I've kind of like reset my, these are new even though they're like the same, expectations to kind of like accept that there's going to be some turbulence at the beginning. I think might just be beta, which could be a number of things too. Even if we're both on beta, it could be some differences. So
sure. Yeah. The Hello Siri support is, I'm surprisingly using it more than I thought I would. And because when I was going in, I was like, oh yeah, it's nice to have, but I do have, you know, HomePods in my office, my phone in my pocket, my watch on my wrist. And up to now, I've always been a, you know, race to speak Apple Watch user and activating Siri that way. Now, when I have my AirPods in, I find it way more convenient to say the trigger phrase and talk rather than raise my arm up. And
yeah,
the main thing that I have with that is normally when I'm wearing my AirPods, I'm walking down the street. Because I generally, when I'm inside, I'm, you know, playing music on HomePods normally. And then when I'm, you know, out and about, I've got my ears until we get there. And what normally happens with my watch is that my sleeve of my t-shirt or shirt or whatever falls over the top of the watch. And so if you want to do race to speak, you've got to pull your arm back so you can see the screen again. And so That convenience alone is gone now that I can do Hello Siri directly on the AirPods themselves. And that is making me use it an awful lot more than I thought I would have.
Yeah, because if I recall, I don't know if you mentioned on the show, but privately you were saying that you got the version with the charging case, wireless charging case too, and that you actually weren't even having the problem with battery life that I had, I think. And so you weren't
my battery
convinced.
Life was, I'm pretty sure you mentioned this when they were announced, but my battery life was getting worse, but it was not dire. So it was not like I need to update them immediately. I need to change them out. It was, you know, I could probably live with these for another 6 months if I had to. Whereas you, it was like on death row.
Right. I was almost going to buy a new pair of fresh AirPods. So I think you told me that you're keeping them was contingent on AirPower shipping, and AirPower was canceled, if I recall. So so it sounds like the Hey Siri feature has turned you on more than you thought it would.
If the AirPods had gone on sale after we knew that AirPower had been canceled, I would not have ordered them. I'm pretty sure.
Because then you wouldn't have tried the Hey Siri feature, and you wouldn't get that exposure.
Now that I've got them, it's like, you know, a hassle to return it. Because right now I am not in a situation where I'm like begging to wirelessly charge my AirPods, because I just charge them. You know, it's not like a phone where you charge it once a day, and I've lived for 2 years without, you know, charging my phone anyway. And I'm not saying that there's no convenience benefit from the AirPods case, but I would have not spent the £40 extra at this time around if I'd have known that the AirPower Mat was, you know, if I hadn't known the AirPower Mat wasn't coming out. Because
I mentioned in my review that I think that we talked about this in the show too, I think already, but the fact that they charge the $40 extra for that, I think it's more because they can never keep up with inventory, so they saw where they could sell our pods for more, and they found a way to sell them for more and sell them for the same, which is pretty clever. But they've never upcharged for wireless charging in the iPhone 8 plus 10 10S, 10R, 10S Max. It's always been a feature that's included. And, you know, it's a different price category. But I could say that they could include it for the same price as the old ones and not have that choice. And it's way more complicated to buy AirPods now. You've got to avoid the first gen model because you're only going to save $10 at most for now if you're buying brand new.
Which the Apple Store doesn't sell anymore, to be fair.
Okay. But like Best Buy does.
And sure, exactly. Anywhere else.
And they're more likely to be in stock than the new AirPods today, right, at least. And then if you're buying from the Apple Store, you've got to say, you've got new AirPods only. And the ones that are going to be in stock are the wired version, or you can buy the wireless case on its own. And that's kind of scammy because it's like, I want the wireless version with the new AirPods. Oh, those are going to be 6 weeks out, like the old AirPods used to always be. Well, if you want them today, you've got to spend 80 extra instead of 40 extra to get that whole thing. But then you got like a backup case, but it's not ideal. You know, so it's just not like great. I think I liked your theory before where you say, well, maybe they're testing this higher market for what future AirPods could cost.
They definitely realized that, like, the AirPods first gen were out of stock for their entire existence. So
they were always backordered.
They can sell them for higher prices and still get people buying them.
And they've managed to maintain $159 for new AirPods with the classic case, so I think that's okay.
Yeah, and right now the upsell opportunity is pretty stupid because, you know, it's $40 extra just to add, you know, a cheek oil into your case essentially. But maybe with the next generation there'll be more of a separation, like, of features at the $159 and $199 level. But at the moment it's just kind of, oh, we just realized we can make some more money, so here we go. And you know, I fell for it as much as anyone else did.
Yeah. Now, something that I think we both share as a complaint about just reviewing the initial AirPods or the new AirPods is that the case, you know, for the wireless case, they move the LED status light for charging from the inside top to the outside visible, which we first saw that in the iOS 11 GM leak. And we said, oh, what's that? Oh, it's probably for wireless charging, you know, before they even announced it. And sure enough, that's what it's for. But it doesn't seem that, and then the idea there is you put them down, you can see orange is charging, green is charged. But it doesn't seem that they've changed the behavior. So it used to turn on and then turn back off if you close the lid, or turn on, for a moment if you open the lid but then turn back off, maybe to preserve battery, maybe because it's not going to stay open forever. But for the moving it to the outside, I think the behavior is probably the same. They need to change it to always be orange if it's charging because there's no battery concern there. And if it's green, then it's done. So that you put it on the charge, it's orange. You visually can glance and see, is it charged yet? If it's green, then it is. And it doesn't need to be what it is now, where it's put it down, it's orange for a few seconds and it's black again. If it turns to green, you never realize it. You only see green if you put it down and it's already charged, which is uncommon. And the Nomad charger that I'm using, either the dual Qi or the 3-in-1 Qi charger, has a status light for orange charging, white charged, but it doesn't really work great for AirPods. I mean, it doesn't hurt, but it doesn't tell you is everything done, because it can't tell if the case is charged but the AirPods inside are charging. And that's what green means, is that everything is done charging, take it with you now. And so there's no way to just glance and see, are these done charging yet or not, beyond just waiting and or checking, you know, manually. And also, like, with all the wireless charging stuff, like, there were those beautiful animations with AirPower. Those have got to be recycled in an iOS update to just be used anywhere. Mm-hmm. Because right now, the way you check all of this charging stuff is the battery widget, which is like, turn the screen on, swipe over to the left screen, scroll if it's not the top widget, which mine is, or expand it if it's not expanded. And then you can see all the things that are charging or their status of being charged or not. But it's ugly and it's out of the way and it's not convenient. So, you know, if you just detect that that's just charging, do the funny animation where it flies in. Yeah. And, you know,
when I first got my AirPods 2, and I have a, you know, cheap Qi charger that someone sent like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I put my AirPods on it, it flashed orange, and then the orange light went away. I was like, oh, did I knock it? Did I, like, make it, did it topple off the exact place on this, you know, really cheap charging mat where stuff charges? And it's like, oh no, it is still charging. It just, for whatever reason, turns the light off. And there's no battery life argument there, because it's on the charger, and isn't going to change it. So I think it should work. It lights orange while it's charging, and then when it reaches full, the light goes out. Because it's kind of annoying if you went out the whole day and it's just got a green light on for the entire time. So,
well, the light going out just means there's no connection. Like, it's not charging at all. Like, it's not making connection. So it needs to be green, because ideally the cheap pads don't need lights on them. You know, I think those are tackier than what Apple's shipping.
Sure, so
so.
Yeah, because the other problem with the light goes out, to check the status again, you can't, like, tap the top of the case or anything. You know, it's not accelerometer based. You have to open the lid. And if you've got flat Qi chargers, to open the lid means picking it up. So you can't do it without taking it off the charger. Like, it's not well thought through.
Yeah. It seems like there's...
The beauty of the first gen case, when the light was inside, is that it was almost like the light was always on, because you don't ever see it. Because as you open the lid, the light would turn on so fast.
It's like the fridge light.
Yeah, like it was you never saw it not turn off, right? Unless you literally held it open and waited like 5 seconds for it to go away. But generally, you just open, flick it open, you know, oh, look, glance at it, shut it. And that was the 99% experience, most common state. And when that was on, it was as if the light was never turning off. But that optical illusion obviously broken, because most of the time now the light is not visible and you just have this like ugly pinprick hole in the front of the case.
Yeah, and I would predict that in a future firmware update that this gets resolved, because it can't be working as intended. It's got to just be the old method recycled, and they need to adapt it to this. And this isn't like the cleanest launch ever. You know, like, this was shown a while ago.
Speaking of software weirdness, the double tap gesture for the AirPods has obviously been changed from the default of the first gen, because now you can do Siri with the voice command.
Yeah, it used to be double tap for Siri by default. You could eventually change it to play pause or previous track or next track, or use it as Siri still. Mm-hmm. And in the press release for this, they say they've now done play pause and next track, but in practice, what is it?
It's just next track on both.
Next track on both.
Which I think is stupid, because it should either be play pause on both is like the obvious replacement, I think. Because to me, next track is like way down my list on way less priority than play pause. I assume they've done next track because the play pause is simulated by just taking one out your ear, right? That's kind of where they're going with it, I think. But probably now that they do have independent actions for each ear, They should just do like right ear, play pause, left ear, next track as the default. Because I don't think the vast majority of AirPods owners will know you can ever change what the double tap action does. Because to do it, you have to go into the Bluetooth screen, press the info button, and that whole Bluetooth screen, the whole point of the H1 chip is you never have to go into the Bluetooth screen, but that's where the settings are to change those actions. So like nobody's ever going to find it.
Maybe it should be in the setup screen. Like when you opt in for Hey Siri, maybe you should also say, and what do you want this to assign? Like if you say no to Hey Siri, then you get Siri. But if you say yes to it, then you say the next step is a really quick two taps. What do you want these to be? You know, left, right.
That'd be better.
Well, I gotta say, you're not doing much with wireless charging yet. I am loving it. I used to have a single charger in the kitchen that was the wire, and it was the 18-watt charger with USB-C to Lightning, so it was really fast. And so the idea there was, I'm in the kitchen, I want to charge my phone really fast, I'll do that there. If it's going to be a wire, I want it to be the best version of the wire. Wireless is even better for me because I can just lay things down and walk away, and then just in time they reduce, even if it's slower, much slower. But so I put the dual Qi charger in the kitchen, no watch, because I'm never going to charge my watch in the kitchen, and I am loving that for just like AirPods. I'm home, put them down like on the counter, but the counter charges basically, and same for the phone, and for the bedroom too. It's just like end of the day, put everything. It goes in the dresser, and that's what I can't have it on my nightstand because my 1-year-old will take it and hide them by nature of being 1.5. But the dresser is out of his reach for now. And so I put the phone down, the AirPods down, my wallet down, the keys down, and then the watch comes off at the end of the night and then goes in the charger too. And I just love, I'm not plugging in the wire. I'm only charging with a wire. The MacBook and the iPad, so that, you know, that is what it is, and it's the same charger too, so it's USB-C. So I'm loving wireless. Like I knew I would, and I am. It's great. Cool. Yeah. Only thing, I don't have wireless charging in my car. I could put a mat in there or something, but it's tricky and it's just not that convenient. So I've got Lightning in the car for CarPlay anyway. I've got a second Lightning charger for my old AirPods that need to charge all the time. Right now, I just don't need to worry about it. But if I was in a bind, I could just plug in the wire there and it'd be fine.
Yeah, so here's what I'm kind of looking for. I am kind of interested in the iPhone Qi chargers that are vertical, so they stand upright.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to buy one now, I kind of want AirPods compatibility as well. And the problem is the AirPods case is so short that I cannot find at the moment a vertical charger that supports the iPhone and the AirPods, because the coil inside the vertical charger is too high. So when you put the AirPods on it, it just doesn't charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is a surmountable problem.
You know, so what you need?
I'm kind of buying my time.
You need a I call that like mount versus mat. You need a three mount, like landscape. It's three different tombstone shaped mounts.
Side by side.
One's the puck for the watch that you just dock on there upright. The next one is a stand for the AirPods case. And the last one is a stand for the phone, but it's like three tombstones,
and it could be like a staircase of height as well.
Exactly, because that would be watch, pods, I think, and then phone, and it would be like an homage of air power. Here is a cemetery of dead wireless dreams.
Yeah, I would actually be into that, because even just the vertical one for the phone is, I'm kind of thinking for like my office desk, and then then the three one would be my like bedroom charger, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So for the office, I kind of do just want like one tombstone, to call it that way.
Yeah,
I feel like someone could engineer a vertical charger that maybe even has two coils, and it just turns the bottom one on if it realizes it's charging the bottom, or the middle one on if it charges something taller. And nobody's able to do it yet, because nothing's really been that small until the AirPods case come along. So I feel like it's definitely an accessory that someone could make. So I'm kind of on the lookout for something like that. So if anybody knows of a vertical charger that does actually work with the AirPods case, please let me know.
You need a 3D printer is what you need, and then you can dream it and
I'll make
it.
My own.
Yeah. Next thing on AirPods on my list is you kind of mentioned the Hey Siri thing. For me, there's two things. First one is I've tried it while running. So on a workout earlier this week, I ran like 6.2 miles, so 10K distance. And I got in just with my watch, not with the phone. And as long as you have LTE or a Wi-Fi connection on the watch, for that matter, then you can continue to use that feature. Still requires a connection to use Siri for that. But it picks it up from the AirPods, relays it through the Apple Watch over the network, and then you get to do your thing with it. It's remarkable how, when it works well, how well it works. So used to, my method was hold the crown on the watch or raise my wrist and say, you know, "Hey Siri." With the AirPods, my arm can be still in motion because I'm running, and it can be like the screen's off because I'm not raising my wrist, and it works, and it's really neat. The only thing I found is that it depends on how I've got to speak clearly and loudly for it to work well, because in that environment, it needs you to do that. And so like if I'm on the treadmill at the gym, I didn't try it with people around, but it was just me by myself. But I tried Siri, turn up the volume, and I got Siri rap for me or something like that. And it did like the jokey joke, like, "Here's me rapping," you know, thing. And I was like, "Oh no." So then I like reach for the iPhone and like use the volume buttons. On the watch, I did experience one time I said, "Siri, turn up the volume again." And it picked up Siri Canada, and it's like, "No, that's not quite it." So then I like use the digital crown to change the volume. But I like that's when I'm in motion. I have had times where I'm just like, "Siri, read my messages," or "turn up the volume," and I've had it work well. I've just got to be precise and dictate clearly and loudly to kind of overcome the environment there. And also the social norm of using "Hey Siri" in public, I've not gotten there yet, like where I feel like I'm comfortable with that. Others might be. I hope we all get there eventually, but I'm not quite there yet, where either me saying those buzzwords or me saying my command out loud, like, because it could be any number of things that I might not want to say out loud. So sure. It's tricky.
I still feel that as well.
Yeah, I'm hoping that just like we all become used to saying it and it becomes like normal, but for me so far I'm not quite there yet.
By the way, the other thing on the Siri thing, I'm so happy that they've made the voice quality better, because
it's much higher fidelity now.
Yeah, before I'd always describe it as if like the AirPods are switching to a different mode and you kind of hear like the Siri really compressed, the Siri voice.
It was like bad car Bluetooth without CarPlay.
Yeah, it was like a car radio type situation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now it's as clear as music. Like, it's crystal clear. It's how you'd expect it to be if you hadn't used the, you know, the version before. So I'm like, very happy they've improved.
It's like, remember the first time you heard Siri on the HomePod? It's like, "Oh, this is a pricey speaker with a really good voice for Siri." The other thing is just like if I'm I often use Siri to sort of a specific workout. So I'll say, "Siri, start a 6.2 mile outdoor run," or "Siri, start a 30 minute elliptical workout." And that way you don't need to tap the screen, dig through the workout app, pick a precise time or goal. You say what you have in mind. Or you can just say, "Start a," describe the workout, you know, just, and it does an open goal. That's a really great use of Siri on the watch on its own, just because it saves you time. If you're comfortable speaking in your environment. With the AirPods, you're not even working out yet, so you're probably in an environment where it's easier to do. I've had it work stellar, and I've had it work where there's like a network delay of the watch on cellular, and this is a Series 4 watch, and it's like, "Oh, I'm going to go and do it manually now too." So it's kind of hit or miss for me, but when it works, it's terrific. And my first experience with the AirPods, I used them on the Mac. That was great. I used them on the iPad. That was great. And then I wanted to just have the watch and go for a run. And so I went out to the local bridge where they've got a steep incline. And I had my son with me in his jogging stroller, and it was really hot. And I was like, "I'm going to do 30. I'm going to do 3 miles, I think." And so I had my watch. I started the workout. I was playing music. It was connected to the AirPods. And once I was far enough where it was too late to kind of go back and get my phone, the AirPods started to disconnect every 10 seconds after playing music. Like, it would connect. It would say Zach's AirPods, and I could pick that as the audio source output. But then it would disconnect. And so eventually, after like 10 tries, I just, you know, and like toggling airplane mode, stuff like that, I was like, "I'm not going to use AirPods on this run." So I cut the run short because I was like frustrated. And I just went like to a mile out and then turned around and did just 2 miles total. But Yeah, which, whatever. But I think that was because I was on the watchOS 5.2 beta. It was beta 6, the developer build. And you needed watchOS 5.2 to use AirPods with the Siri feature. But I think it was just incompatibility between the pre-release beta version and then like the release. But there wasn't a release version yet for like 2 days between like AirPods shipping to people and then that happening. But once the software actually was out, I haven't had that problem again. And that's one of the things where like, you know, I used to have that problem a lot with the old AirPods where I had to turn Bluetooth off on the phone and just only have the watch be able to pair to AirPods or else there'd be like conflict. So I don't know what went wrong, but I haven't had the problem since that one, you know, pre-release beta version of the software. And it was weird that the software wasn't ready for the watch yet. But as we'll get to in a little bit, there was, you know, new feature in the software that might have been holding up a couple of days. But I'm loving them. It's my battery life's great again. They're going everywhere with me. I'm charging them with even less friction than before. The Siri thing, there's one thing with the Hey Siri feature that I don't like, and that is the way I want to use Hey Siri is only on the Apple Watch when I raise my wrist or on the HomePod, because those are things where I'm using those hands free and I want to control Siri without touching the screen and holding a button, you know. On the iPhone, I keep it off because it's just like one more device to trigger on accident. And I'm usually holding the phone in my hand. If I want to use Siri, I can hold the side button down. Same thing for the iPad. I've got the MacBook Air, the new one. It's got Hey Siri because it's got a T2 chip. I've got an iMac Pro. It's got a T2 chip. It was the first to have Hey Siri. I don't like using Siri on those things because it's not that useful.
It's less functional. And it gets in the way because you actually want to talk to the HomePod, but your Mac, you know, responds or whatever.
Yeah, even if it's like just for like a split second, I don't want that blip.
Yeah, well, I have that with my iPhone. I don't turn Siri, the voice trigger on the phone just because I don't like it where the screen lights up for half a second before the HomePod like fully takes over. Like just that alone, I keep it off on the phone.
Yeah, but if you want it. Yeah, because if you want to use Hey Siri in the new AirPods, because it's a useful feature, and you want to have the same experience, not based on what device you're connected to, but because your AirPods can handle it, then you need to turn on Hey Siri for every device. The only exception there is that if you have a Mac that isn't a T2 Mac, so it's not a 2018 MacBook Air, and it's not a 2018 June MacBook Pro, and it's not an iMac Pro, then you don't have Hey Siri, and so you don't have the problem of you've got to turn it on. You get a different button, which is use Hey Siri for AirPods, because the Mac can't do it on its own, but AirPods can. So then you don't have the problem of, you know, the Mac's always listening, even if you don't have AirPods on. And there is an option on the Mac, which is only listen if the Mac is unlocked. But if you've got like the watch unlock feature, it's really aggressive about unlocking. And it's just kind of a pain. Like I'm probably going to just go back to only using it on the watch and the HomePod and maybe the phone. Cause that's another thing. It's like you with like Bose headphones and maybe some Sony ones and like lots of other ones, you can be paired to two things actively and it will switch between the two devices. I guess AirPods and Apple's Bluetooth headphones, Beats too, they prioritize like speed and fast connection, like switching to that. And so you can't be paired to two things at once. So like if I'm on listening to music on the phone, but the watch has a 1 mile indicator, I don't get that audio alert on the AirPods too. It's just on the watch. So you can't do like fast switching in that regard. It's fast switching is like you manually change sources. I kind of wish there was like change with your voice. Like if you're, I don't know, you say Siri switch to this device, switch to that device, don't like it searches for it, but you can't do that. And so it's a little bit funky, kind of a mixed bag for me just in practice because of the differences of like Siri everywhere and how useful it is.
Because luckily for me, I have a 2016 MacBook Pro, so I don't have the Siri problem unless the AirPods are in, because then that magic checkbox appears. But I do have it on the phone where it's like annoying now where I have Hello Siri enabled, but I'd rather it only be enabled when my AirPods are in use, and there's no option for that or control for that currently.
But overall, AirPods, if you like the first ones, the new ones are great. If you have the first ones, I think you probably don't need to upgrade unless you yours are worn out, or you have a way to, like, you know, sell them and make your money back or give them to somebody. Like, you kind of need a reason. It can't just be that you love your AirPods and you're going to get that much more out of these. Cause I could see a scenario where you don't get the wireless case, or you do, but you don't have a wireless charger, or you don't really care about wireless charging anyway. And you never use the Siri feature. And then there's just not much different. Like, the faster switching is one thing, but I don't think it's night and day, at least for me. The lower gaming latency, if you game, maybe it's a thing. I don't qualify. Battery life is the same, 5 hours. The only change there is call time goes from 2 to 3 hours. And that's because, like, you're using the mics and the speakers, so it's just much more intensive. And it's not a whole lot of changes besides the Siri and the charging stuff. And charging is only if you pay more. So
yeah. But if your current AirPods are working fine, keep with them. And then eventually, when you need a new pair, you can get these ones and you'll be happy.
Yep, I agree. But AirPods 1 were great. AirPods 2 does nothing to move backwards, which is great, except for the higher premium price, which was predicted, I guess, both. So full endorsement there. Losing hair sucks, and 2 out of 3 guys will experience hair loss by the time they're 35. It just happens. That's why there's Keeps, the easiest and most affordable way to keep the hair you have. These FDA-approved products used to cost so much, but now, thanks to Keeps, they're finally inexpensive and easy to get. For 5 minutes of your time, and starting at just $10 per month, you'll never have to worry about hair loss again. Getting started with Keeps is so easy. Signing up takes less than 5 minutes. Just answer a few questions online and snap a few photos of your hair with your iPhone from the comfort of your own home. A licensed physician will then review your information online and recommend the right treatment for you. Then it's shipped right to your door every 3 months. No need to show up at the pharmacy. And Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of you have already tried them before, but you've probably never gotten them for this price. Keeps is only $10 to $35 a month. Plus now, you can get your first month totally free. That's a heck of a deal for getting to keep your hair. To receive the first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/happyhour. That's KEEPS.com/happyhour. That's a free month of hair treatment at keeps.com/happyhour. Keeps, hair today, hair tomorrow. Aside from AirPods, there's another new pair of wireless headphones coming, and it's the PowerBeats Pro. So these are from Beats. The way this story has unfolded is in March, CNET had a story that said Apple's working on a new pair of PowerBeats headphones that will use the same chip as the new AirPods and work with Hey Siri. So that was that was CNET's story. And then after the Apple event, Guy Rambo at 95 Mac found in iOS 12.2, the general release, assets for the name PowerBeats Pro and the way they looked. So the visuals and the charging case, which we imagined existed, but we just hadn't seen it yet. And that was black. So I was like, that's awesome. And then this morning there were billboards in LA, California going up for PowerBeats Pro, said coming soon, had the same design that we saw in our discovery and the same name. And so I emailed my contact at Beats PR, and they're really friendly. They're great people. Said, hey, we've covered these stories. I just want you to be aware of this. And is there anything you can share with us about pricing or the release date? And they were terrific. They actually gave us under embargo what was planned to be the release for an hour and a half or 2 hours from then, which was awesome because we weren't included before, but when we inquired about it, then we were. And so like The Verge and CNET and others had stories ready to go. We got in that pretty late, but then we had one ready to go too because of the billboard story. the billboards, literally billboards. And so what are PowerBeats Pro? They are it's PowerBeats as before, but it's the cable's gone, the cord in between the two earphones is gone. But not just that, they're redesigned. Like, they're smaller physically, they look different. They've got different ear tips, they've got a different wing tip. So they're like sporty version of AirPods. They've got the H1 chip, just like AirPods, the new ones. They work with Hey Siri, so you can use Siri control with your voice with PowerBeats Pro as well. But they work like AirPods in so many ways that no Beats have before. So Beats have had the W1 chip before, and PowerBeats 3 and Beats X. I think Solo Studio, the latest versions of those, have as well. These have the H1 chip. They get the proximity sensor, so it's the same like pause and start when you take them in and out of your ears. There's no power button anymore. You put them in their charging case. They recharge and turn off that way. They detect that if they're not in the ears, they go to sleep. They've got the microphones that do the beamforming stuff, so that it knows if you're talking based on proximity sensor, so it can block out ambient noise and be rated for phone calls. Because they're PowerBeats, they're swim, or not swim, but they are water and sweat resistant. So they're rated for using in workouts and, you know, maybe some rain. Not swimming, but at least like in wet environments, unlike AirPods. Although I do that anyway and haven't had a problem. Some people have had a problem with that. The biggest thing for me is they've got 9-hour battery life. So they've got like all the features of AirPods minus being so portable, but they're still pretty small, and they're truly wireless, but they've got 9 hours versus 5 hours, and they're in-ear design. So there's noise isolation based on that alone. So they're going to be louder. They're going to have a lot more battery life. And these are totally going to be my like half marathon training headphones that I use.
They have more bass than AirPods as well, right?
Yeah, and these have got like, they're not just like cut the cord in between them and like those are the new power. I think that's why they call them PowerBeats Pro, not PowerBeats 4 or 5 or whatever the number they're on. I guess they're on 4. It would have been 4. Because they've got like a new driver for the bass inside. Like they'll sound, according to what Beats tells us, better than what the old PowerBeats sounded like. But like they've totally been redone. And so it's impressive. Like these are like AirPods for people that can't wear AirPods, or that like in the situations where I do longer runs, AirPods just can't last because they can't get as loud and they don't have as much battery life. So I'm impressed. I mean, just think about like AirPods battery life is 5 hours at half volume. So 2.5 hours at full volume. You know, here you're looking at 4.5 hours on full volume. So it's much longer.
Yeah. You know? And it's still 24 hour charging with the case included.
Yeah. It comes in color. So you've got black, which is all anybody really wants out of AirPods. And it's even like, it's like black on black. So the case is black for all the new PowerBeats Pro headphones, and the case charges over Lightning. No wireless charging, which is too bad, but I mean, they only just came to AirPods, so that's just one difference. There's also a navy color, which I think has like a gold kind of bronzy looking Beats logo on it. There's Moss, which is like army green, same gold looking B logo. And there's Ivory, which you'd probably describe as white if you looked at it, but it's just like kind of duller than white. And then it's got a black Beats logo.
Yeah,
with
like
a black case.
Wallet, isn't it really?
Yeah. So these look really impressive. The price is $250, which is $50 more than PowerBeats 3 usually, although they're usually on sale for like half of that, usually about $100. But $50 more than AirPods 2 with the wireless charging case. I think these, I mean, that was my price guess, and it is what it is. They're going to ship in May. So they're announced this month. They won't be out until sometime next month. Hopefully it sounds like we'll get a review unit. So which at that point we can discuss them, you know, way more. But these look like the real deal. Like they come with 4 tips. So you change the tip on them based on your ear size. I think they used to come with like a bunch more, but 4 is what they've settled on for this size. And the wing tip is like, it isn't like fixed in place. You can kind of move it around and adjust it based on like your ear shape so that you get a strong hold. The thing about the old PowerBeats 3, they were okay because they had the W1 chip, but you didn't get Siri. And you had the cord in between, which I heard someone describe it as like a cape, which reminded me of, the Christian Bale Batman movies, and like between I think movie 2 and 3 or 1 and 2, they changed his suit because like the literal costume for the movie, he couldn't move his head around. And I think I even like incorporated that in like the script, that it was like more flexible and like, he could look left and right, you know, like more versatile. So it's like that, like even no matter how much you adjusted that cord, even though they were wireless, there was no cord to your device, you know, in your pocket or whatever, and you couldn't use it, you know, with your watch. The cord in between just was always in the way for me. And so I didn't endorse those. You got 12 hours on the old ones, which is, you know, more than the 9 hours on the new ones. But I think that's totally fine at the cost of like getting that cable to go away. And they've still got physical buttons. There's no power button. That's been replaced with like the AirPower style behavior. But you do get volume up, volume down, and play pause on both earphones. So it's mirrored, same buttons on both sides. So if you're only wearing one, you don't lose out on any action. There's no like need to like map a function to something. And you get the Hey Siri stuff. So these look really impressive. I would purchase these on my own if I weren't going to receive a review unit anyway. And if it's a situation where I've got to send back the unit, I will buy these. These are for me.
These are like the replacements for the Bose SoundSports that you were using.
Yeah, which those have power buttons on each one. The Bluetooth connection is I reviewed those. It's poor. Like it's okay, but like in the half marathon, I use those twice for half marathon races, and then sometimes for training too. And every single time I wore those, you'd find specific places where the connection would cut out and you'd hear only in one ear or only in the other ear, or there'd be no audio for like 2 seconds. And I just don't get that with AirPods. These will have that same, you know, wireless connection as reliability and all the benefits of AirPods too, in terms of like the lower latency and the fast switching connection, all that stuff. So,
yeah. These really are pretty cool actually. And
yeah,
if you picked out the segment of the market that doesn't like AirPods, it's like number one, doesn't fit your ears. Well, mm-hmm. These will fit ears. Number two, no volume buttons. These are volume buttons. Like Apple's mm-hmm. just capturing a much bigger share of the, you know, truly wireless headphone market now, with both AirPods at the lower end and then
want black, here comes black.
Yeah, and if you want black, here comes colors too. It's like he's just capturing like AirPods already dominated, and I feel like this plus this together now, they're just gonna, you know, monopolize the whole market, because the stuff like the Bose SoundSports are just going to be beaten out by this thing. Maybe not on price, but definitely in terms of like, you know, the package of what's on offer.
Yeah, the Bose ones were $200 regular. I think I paid like $180 on sale. Maybe it was less than the full price, or I wouldn't have even bothered. But yeah, I think you'll see these replace, which would have been something else, or even maybe even AirPods in the gym, especially like, you know, in a workout environment, because they are, I mean, these are like AirPods Sport, basically. They call them PowerBeats Pro, but like these are the sporty alternatives to AirPods. So I'm looking forward to these. I can't wait for them to come out. Again, coming in May, and then hopefully we'll have a pair to review this month. So we'll see how that goes.
And if you're concerned about the higher price, just wait a little bit, because the Apple stuff, you know, Apple branded stuff, prices don't generally fall, but all the Beats stuff is incredibly heavily discounted. So I'll not be surprised if these are exactly the same and they'll be like $150 within 3 months or something.
Yeah, if not through Apple, then through Best Buy and Amazon and every other retailer that you can find. So yeah, all right, we'll look forward to those later this month, hopefully. Let's talk about Luna Display, the only hardware solution that turns your iPad into a wireless second display for Mac. With Luna Display, you can finally use your iPad as a super portable second display for your Mac with stunning image quality and virtually zero lag. Luna sets up in seconds and instantly works over your existing Wi-Fi or even over USB as a backup when you don't have Wi-Fi. Luna Display acts as a complete extension of your Mac with full support for external keyboards, Apple Pencil input, and touch interactions. It literally turns your iPad into a touchscreen display for your Mac. I've been trying out Luna Display, and I have to say, the experience is really remarkable. Just connect the tiny adapter into your Mac over USB-A or USB-C, then launch the Luna app on your iPad, and macOS really does treat your whole iPad screen as a dedicated external monitor with full touch support. Luna Display is great on any iPad since the experience is full screen with no letterboxing, which makes Luna Display really shine on the latest iPad Pros with Liquid Retina displays that go corner to corner. If you just want to put your iPad to work and extend your Mac desktop, or you want to use your iPad to expand your screen real estate from your MacBook while you're traveling, Luna Display is a fantastic way to unlock an invaluable new skill from your iPad. And Lunar Display is giving Happy Hour listeners an exclusive deal on the product for a limited time with 10% off. Head to the show notes to get an exclusive 10% discount on Lunar Display. Just go to www.lunardisplay.com and enter the promo code HAPPY at checkout. Our thanks to Lunar Display. All right, Mayo, let's keep chugging along here. We got some iPhone rumors from our AirPower friend Ming-Chi Kuo and our AirPower friend DigiTimes. What's going on the iPhone this week?
Yeah, so all the sources that got it wrong on AirPower. No, I mean, in general, they're pretty accurate, right? So we're not, yeah. Especially Kuo, like DigiTimes is more mixed, but on iPhones, they're generally decent. And Kuo, he's got the best tracker out of them all. He got AirPower wrong, but I don't think it's a trend. So Kuo this week followed up on his kind of year outlook that we covered before with more information on the 2019 iPhone lineup regarding the wireless two-way charging situation. So again, he confirms that the all three of the iPhones, the 5.8 inch, the 6.1 inch, and the 6.5 inch, so all the successors to the XS and the XR that we're expecting for this year will feature like the power sharing function on the back of them, so you can charge your wireless charging AirPods on the back of your phone. So if you don't have a Qi mat yourself, you'll at least be able to use the wireless charging pods on your own phone. And to support the addition of the extra charging, he says they are going to up the battery capacity across the board to kind of offset the battery that you would lose by charging the second device through the
battery. Yeah. People keep asking if we think that they'll call the feature AirPower. I think no way. I think that's the brand is good, but it needs to be for something better than this. This is just charge with your phone, I think.
Yeah.
I think Samsung calls it PowerShare, maybe.
Yeah, that's like, what they call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Capital P, capital S, and like that's their name for it. Maybe Apple will have one too. But I don't think they're going to call it AirPower.
No, the AirPower may return for a future accessory, but it's not returning this year on this particular thing. Like, it's not a big enough feature for it to dedicate a name like that, I don't think.
Right.
But obviously, even if you never use this power sharing, you can get just bigger benefit batteries from the additional battery capacity.
Yeah, and the way Kuo describes like the precise increases, it's like right now the 10R gets the best battery life because it's got LCD, it's thicker, it's got a big battery anyway. What does he describe the 10R replacement upgrade as? Like,
yeah, he says 0 to 5%.
Yeah, increase. Zero. He didn't say 1 to 5. He said 0 to 5, which to me says like it could say the same. Like 0 to 5%. I strive every day to be 0 to 5% better at life. So that means that's like negligible.
But the six and a half inch is 10 to 15%.
Yes, that is remarkable.
And I believe the AirPods have like 150, 200 mAh battery, I believe, in the case. So that is pretty much exactly the 10 to 15% range.
Oh,
so
neat.
If you charge your phone and you charge the AirPods through the phone, you'll get the same battery life on the iPhone XS Max.
So, milliamp per hours or so? Yeah,
milliamp hours, yeah.
Yeah, they match that potentially with what you would charge to the AirPods. So it's like, but if you don't ever use the feature, then you just get more battery life.
Yeah, which is especially important for the XS.
Yeah. And the story about, there's already been rumors of the iPhone in 2020, all three size models using OLED. That's repeated with Kuo, I think, right?
That's
DigiTimes.
Yeah.
But it's been said before elsewhere. And
yeah,
so,
before and stuff.
Yeah. And so you can see them bumping up the battery for the OLED screen so that you get closer to where the XR is. Not really improving the XR size phone because it's already good. You don't want that to be like even better. So you've got even a higher, to go for. And you can kind of see that here too. Like even though it's for power sharing or whatever you want to call it, they're also creeping up. We expect to where the XR battery is. And then when you go OLED everywhere, it can kind of be consistent with like screen size and battery size versus screen type because that won't be a factor anymore.
Yeah, 10 to 15% on the Max is basically the difference between the Max and the XR now. So the Max will basically get the same battery as the XR going forward on the, whatever they call the 11 series. And then the XS, he says, between 20 and 25% bigger battery, which is a lot. Like that's substantial. Like an hour, of, you know, yeah. at least of usage. Yeah. So if you never use the power sharing, I feel like the 10S customers are going to be a lot happier with the extra battery life. Because that's me. I'm on iPhone 10, but the battery life is the same between 10 and 10S. And I wish the battery life lasted longer. And a 25% boost to battery life, I would be very happy with.
Yeah. All right. What's Digitime saying on screen sizes?
Yep. So Digitimes is the one reporting on the OLED situation this week. And this isn't for the 2019 phones. This is for the 2020 phones. It says that all three will be OLED, which means the 10R will be OLED 2, dropping LCD. So this year will be the last year of LCD. But interestingly, it quotes a different lineup of screen sizes, not the 5.8, 6.1, 6.5 that we're used to at the moment. Digitime says the OLED screens will come in 5.42, 6.06, and 6.67. So the 6.06 sounds different, but really that's identical to the 6.1-inch iPhone XR today, because Apple rounds up the 10R screen. If you actually go in the tech specs page and like zoom in really close to the fine print, if measured as a rectangle, the 10R is 6.06 inches. And for whatever reason, they just advertise it as 6.1. So that's exactly the same, the 6.06, except it's now OLED instead of LCD. The 6.67 inch screen is bigger than the max by like 0.2 inches. And it's like, okay, the max can probably get a bit bigger. Maybe they shrink the bezels a little bit further to, you know, kind of offset it. Because the iPhone bezels are good, you know, decently slim. But there are Android phones that go even slimmer at the moment. So there is room probably to, you know, shrink it a bit more. If you do 1 millimeter on either side and then make it slightly bigger, you're getting, you know, a slightly bigger screen and roughly the same capacity again. Roughly the same physical size. So that's probably self-explanatory. The weird one is the 5.42 inch phone, which is 0.4 inches smaller than the current iPhone XS size. So that's the weird one to me, is that it's not a direct replacement for that form factor, because the difference between 5.8 and 5.42 is dramatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
And I don't really have a great explanation for it. The other two can be explained away, like the 6.06 is the same, 6.7's, you know, slightly bigger and maybe offset by chassis changes. The 5.42 will feel significantly smaller. Will it feel like an iPhone SE size? No, because it will still be bigger than that. But it will definitely be... It will not look like the 5.8 inch phone that you know today.
That's right.
Yeah, because 5.42 is, you know, about the size of the old pluses, right? Because they were 5.5, but those were 16:9. Whereas this presumably will still be this ultra wide, ultra tall, like 18.5:9 resolution. Mm-hmm. So it will feel cramped, I think. Because if you look at the 10S and then cut off, you know, like another 10% off the top, it feels pretty cramped. So I'm not sure where they're going with that one, because it's Digitimes. I'm not freaking out too much yet, because you know, I'm the devoted 5.8 inch form factor size. I'm loving that size. So I really wouldn't want it to go. But, you know, if we start hearing Quo and other sources report this number as well, we'll be like, oh dear, what am I going to do?
Yeah. And then we got it's kind of the first maybe schematic of what could be the iPhone 11, right? What's that story?
Yeah, so a Twitter account that has shown loads of prototypes in the past highlighted this image, which came from OnLeaks and SlashLeaks and a load of other sources as well. And it's the classic factory image of schematics, as if it's being taken inside the factory where these things are being made. It's the classic image of like the Windows computer with a CAD file open, and it shows a layout of the iPhone 11, we believe. And you can tell it's the iPhone 11 because you look in the corner, it's got the triple camera system as rumored, and it looks exactly like the triple camera that was rendered in back in January, which is the square version. So it kind of looks like a big rounded rectangle with asymmetric alignment of the three cameras and kind of this triangle arrangement, plus the microphone spattered at the bottom and the flash not in line but at the top somewhere. So the version that everyone called ugly seems to be backed up by this latest schematic leak. So have at that what you will.
yeah.
I still think they'll probably explain it away with, oh, we had to do this because this and this, and if the cameras are really much better, then nobody will care anymore that, you know, it's kind of ugly, but it is not the prettiest sight in the world.
Yeah. What is it? The Samsung Galaxy S10 has got the ultra wide ones now where it's like, it's kind of like fisheye, not so bubbly, but it's like if you put like an Olo clip on your iPhone, but it's part of the phone. So you get more in that view. And that's kind of what we expected to be from the iPhone. If so, that's pretty cool. I'm now looking at like lens. I feel like on my Sony A6500, I've got like a lens equivalent for each iPhone lens too. But I don't have like that ultra wide kind of bubbly effect. So I'm kind of curious, like if there's, I'm sure there is. Something for that. So, we'll see how that goes. Last thing I want to mention this week is the watchOS 5.2 update, like what was included in that. So you got to benefit from that because you finally get the ECG feature, right?
Yes, that was a surprise. Like, we went through the event with nothing, and then, you know, they roll out watchOS 5.2 and it includes ECG for the whole of Europe. So, and obviously that's been a feature that has been, are they going to do it at all in other countries next year?
And Hong Kong too, right?
Are they going to wait till the Series 5 to do it? Well, no, we've got it in Hong Kong and Europe, which luckily at the moment still includes the United Kingdom. And so I've done it and I can happily report that I have sinus rhythm. So I'm good for now.
Yay, sinus rhythm. Yeah, that's awesome. There's already been at least one story of someone who was an Apple Watch skeptic, but had one, benefit from the new feature, sees tested out, you know, gets the different than sinus rhythm result and goes from there. So that's awesome.
The ECG app UI, by the way, is very cool with how the park would kind of flow around. And they go from that heart to that little grid of the chart. And then if you let go, it kind of like pops back and goes back down again. I wish the app icon wasn't another white icon, but
especially on the watch.
Especially on the watch. The
app itself is so good. They take something that's super medical and, you know, literally requires, oversight to even release it outside of Apple, and they make it something. It's more playful than like even taking your heart rate. So that's awesome. I'm glad that's in more places now. Well, that's the Happy Hour podcast for this week. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Apollo Zach Benjamin. You are
BZA Mango.
And also, you can follow me on Instagram, Benjamin. I don't know if you're there or not. You change your story on that a lot.
I'm not on Instagram. I do have an account there, but I'm not using it. I'm just reserving my handle. But I'm BZA Mango on Twitter.
And let's see. So you can also follow Netify Mac on Twitter and Instagram. And if you have any feedback for us, you can email us at happyhour@95mac.com. And we'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.